Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen you and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our pastors.
If you're having a seat, get your Bibles, and I want you to go with me to the book of 2 Chronicles, all right? You might have to go and look in the table of contents and find out where 2 Chronicles is. It is on page number 661 in my Bible, okay? 2 Chronicles, we're going to be in chapter number 31. Right at the end, we're going to head into chapter number 32. While you're turning there, the title of tonight's message is simply this: Saved and Guided. Saved and Guided. Turn to your neighbor and say, I already like this message. I already like it. It's a good one, all right? I already like it. I hope you do too. Saved and Guided. Have you ever wondered why you still have problems after solving the biggest problem of your life by giving your heart and life to Jesus? Anybody other than Pastor Dan ever wonder why do I still, okay, good, all right, I'm glad there's some people in the room that are thinking with their heads and that are encountering stuff that I'm encountering, that I'm not alone in this. Because there's been times where I'm like, wait a second, hold up. Stop the world, I want to get off. And here's the reason why. Because I gave my heart to Jesus, and because I'm a Christian, my thought process is I should have no problems ever at any time. Is that right? And yet we live in this world, don't we? And when we still have problems, we still have challenges. We all have thought this way. Even in recent days, Pastor Justin and I were like, does everything have to be hard? You know what I mean? It's like you just want to drive to the store and that turns into a fight, you know? Or you just want to like just relax and you have 16 things to do that are undone, and that if you don't get them done, they're not going to get done and it's going to have bad results in your life. And yet, even though it seems like everything's wrong, nothing's wrong. I need to tell you this, because Jesus told us this in advance. He said, in the world you will have, I don't like that word. I wasn't even going to say it, but you all said it. Tribulation, trouble. You're going to have tests and trials and challenges. The Apostle Peter comes along, and he says, don't think it's strange if you're being tried with this, and then he uses the word fiery. Not just a trial, a fiery trial. Peter, come on, bro. Like a fiery trial? I couldn't even want the trial, but now don't think it's strange if I'm going through a fiery trial. I mean, fire is painful. Fire hurts. I don't like it. I don't want a fiery trial. Just give me the regular old trial. I don't want maximum strength, right? And yet he says, don't think it's strange if you're going through a fiery trial. Okay, how about the Apostle Paul? Maybe we can find some comfort in him. Nope, he says all who want to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Oh my goodness. All three of you guys, like the three pillars, man, come on, you know? Even James said, count it pure joy when you encounter various trials. What? They're coming in your life. And so we don't need to be surprised as Christians when our problems haven't just magically disappeared because we gave our heart and life to Jesus. We're going to have trouble. We're going to have trials. We're going to have challenges that we go through. I wonder if there's anybody in the room honest enough to say, Pastor, I'm going through a trial today, this week, this month, this year. Okay, I see all those hands. And if you don't have your hand up presently, I'll ask you tomorrow and it'll probably be raised. See, even though this fact may not be encouraging, at least we know there's nothing wrong. Trials are to be expected. Let me show this to you about a man by the name of Hezekiah. He was a king. In fact, he was a great king. In the nation of Israel, after they split, there was two nations. There was 12 tribes that started out, and they started out under Saul and then David, and then as Solomon had the unified kingdom and expanded it as big and as wealthy as he could, under his son, it broke off into the tribe of Judah and Benjamin, which made up the kingdom of Judah, and then the other 10 tribes made up Israel. Israel never had a good king, all wicked, every last one of them. Judah had some good kings and some bad kings. Hezekiah was a good king. Let's take a look at it. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 20 and 21. It says this. 2 Chronicles chapter 31, starting verse 20. Thus Hezekiah did throughout all Judah, and he did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. That right there is quite a testimony, isn't it? I mean, three words that it says. He did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. I just would love if someday God was talking about me and he said, Pastor Dan did what was good and right and true before the Lord his God. That's a great testimony, isn't it? Verse 21, and in every work, everybody say every work. This guy, he did it all. Every work. And in every work that he began in the service of the house of God, in the law and in the commandment to seek his God, he did it with all his heart. What a guy. What a guy. He put his heart into it. My goodness, it wasn't just out of a legal obligation. It wasn't out of religious ritual. It was because he actually believed it. He was really a good guy. He did what was good and right and true with all his heart. Wow. So he prospered, and we would say amen. No problems. He prospered. Look at this guy. He is the man. And yet verse 1 of chapter 32 comes along. Just drop down in the next chapter. There's a reason why they put chapter breaks, right? Because they want us to be able to find these verses, but really this was one long story. God builds this guy up to show you, hey, trials come and there's nothing wrong with you. See, many times we hit a trial and we think, oh no, I must have sinned. Must be me. Maybe I fell out of God's favor. Maybe I'm not God's favorite anymore. I really was for a while, man. I had the job, I had the car, I had the spouse, I had all the stuff. And then a problem comes along and we say, well, God must be mad at me. I guess I shouldn't go to church. No, God says there's nothing wrong with you. It's just the way of this world. You live in a fallen world. The devil hates you. And because of that, you're going to encounter some trials. Sometimes it's just the way it goes. Sometimes it's because of the devil. Sometimes it's because of people, right? Sometimes it's because of stupid people. You got to discern the difference. But look at verse 1 of chapter 32, 2 Chronicles. After these deeds of faithfulness. Okay, hold up. We're talking about Hezekiah, right? He did what was good. He did what was right. He did what was true. He did it with all his heart. And after these deeds of faithfulness, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, came and entered Judah and encamped against the fortified cities, thinking to win them over to himself. Look at this. Here's this guy doing everything right, and what happens? The mightiest nation on the planet at that time comes against him. How many of you know that's a bad day? Right? That's a problem. That is not something that you like, God, why would you keep that away? I'm a good person. I'm doing it all right. I'm putting my heart into it, God. And yet now here comes Sennacherib. I mean, come on. This guy's destroyed armies. He's taken over nations. He's taken them captive. But see, we need to understand there's nothing wrong. Trials are to be expected, just like this man, Hezekiah, this king. And we're going to learn some lessons how he deals with this adversity tonight. Of what we're to do, what can we expect along with the trials? If we're going to go through trials, if we can expect trials, then what can we expect with them? Well, first thing is this, we can expect God to be with us in trials. Listen, God never said you have to go it alone. All right, here you go, into the deep end, swim. It's like when I got my friends in high school, we had a senior ditch day, and they said, hey, we're going to go snowboarding. You want to go? I said, yeah, I want to go. I'm going to ditch school. Man, this rule follower, I'm going to just do something bad, you know? And so we ditched school. We drove up the mountain. I borrowed my friend's snowboard, boots and binding and jacket and pants and all that. I looked the part, man. I looked so cool. I had never snowboarded in my life. They dropped me off at the top of the highest peak up there, San Bernardino Mountains, right? Snow Summit. I'm all the way at the top. And they said, all right, bro, we'll see you at the bottom. And left me there. Listen, God has never left you. That's not how God tells you to learn. It's more like God running behind the kid on the bike that just got their training wheels off. That's God, right? He's never left you. I remember my kids freaking out on that bike, and I'd be like, I'm right here. I am right here. And even if I let go, I'd still run beside them. Why? Because I didn't want them to fall. And then when I knew they got it, I'd be like, all right, you got this. But until I knew that they had it, I never stopped running by them. See, God is right there with you. He's never left you. He's never forsaken you. Trials are not his vacancy. No, no, no. Trials are a place that he stays with you in. It's like that old poem talking about footprints in the sand. You remember that? They said, I only see one set of footprints. Is that where you left me? And God said, no, that's where I carried you. Now, that's not in the Bible, but I believe that that shows us a picture of what it's like with God. God's never left you. Jesus promised us his presence always. God said he'd never leave us nor forsake us. And in the midst of a trial, we need to remind ourselves of these facts and be encouraged that God is right there. Let's take a look at it in the Word, because here's Sennacherib, king of Assyria, coming against Judah, all the cities, hoping to win them over to himself. How is he doing that? By taunting them, by telling them, your God has left you. Hezekiah, he wiped out all the other gods that you were worshiping, and now he's got you only worshiping one God, but that's the God that told me to come and attack you. You should just come out here and spare your lives. Just come out to me right now. Don't fight me. Don't do it. And so he's taunting them. But look at 2 Chronicles 32, this time verse number 6 down through verse number 8. Here's Hezekiah. It says, then he set military captains over the people, gathered them together to him in the open square of the city gate, and gave them encouragement, saying, verse 7, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid nor dismayed before the king of Assyria, nor before all the multitude that is with him. For there are more with us than with him. Don't you just love the faith of this man, Hezekiah? Because he saw beyond the natural. He says, this guy's got a massive army, but don't be afraid of the massive army. Because what you don't see is that there's more with us than there are with him. What's he talking about? Well, you remember where the prophet prayed and asked the Lord to open the eyes of his servant, and he looked, and there was a fiery army of chariots all around him. See, there's more with us than there are with them. We need to understand this. You are in the majority when you're with God. Even if everyone, every angel, every demon, every person on the planet was against you, with God, you are always in the majority. But I got to tell you right now, you've got God on your side. You've got Jesus Christ, your high priest, standing on your behalf. You have the Holy Spirit rising up on the inside of you. You've got a heavenly host of angels that are invisible, that are ministering on your behalf. And you have a body of believers, brothers and sisters, all over the world, in the hundreds of millions, that are praying for you and believing for you. So don't let the devil's taunts, oh, just come over to my side. Just take the drink. Just take the smoke. Just leave the church. No one likes you at that church. You're all alone. Listen, the devil is a liar. There are more that are with you than are against you. And tonight, if you're feeling lonely, all you got to do is just talk to your Father. All you got to do is talk to his Son, Jesus. All you got to do is just ask the Holy Spirit to be your comforter. All you got to do is just reach out to your neighbor and say, hey, could you be my friend? Can we talk? Can we relate? Can I sit next to you when we come to church? See, it doesn't take much, because there's people just like you in this church that need somebody. You got to remember that you're never alone as a believer. Verse number 8, I love what Hezekiah goes on to say. He says, with him, speaking of the king of Assyria, is an arm of the flesh. But with us is the Lord our God to help us and to fight our battles. And the people were strengthened by the words of Hezekiah, king of Judah. You know, every year at Thanksgiving time, our teams go out and we take Thanksgiving baskets to the neighborhood. We have a distribution that we do for the people in our church every year. People sign up and they say, okay, we'd like to receive a Thanksgiving basket. We love doing that for our brothers and sisters. It's a reminder that you're not alone at Thanksgiving. You may not be able to provide a Thanksgiving meal, but we want to be with you and we want to supply that for you so that anyone that's around your table is blessed and fed and knows that the Rock Church and World Outreach Center loves you. So we do that every year, and we always buy enough for our neighbors, our neighborhood, right? And so our teams, they go out, and they go on Caroline Street and Gardena Street, and anybody that we can supply for, we always want to, and so we always buy some extra. And so we had our staff going out, and my sister-in-law told me this story. She said, you would not believe what happened to us as we went out. We were going door to door. It was so beautiful. The people were so grateful, so thankful, and just received us so happily every time. And we went to this one door, and we knocked on the door, and a woman answered the door. And we said, hi, we're here from the Rock Church and World Outreach Center, and we want to give you this Thanksgiving basket with a full Thanksgiving meal for your table this Thanksgiving. The woman immediately burst into tears. When she composed herself, she said, I go to the Rock. She said, oh, you do? And she says, yeah. And she says, I had just told my kids that I missed the deadline to get a Thanksgiving basket, and so we weren't going to have a Thanksgiving meal this year, and here you come, knocking on the door. Listen, guys, you are never alone. God is with you everywhere you go. He's not left you, and he has not forsaken you. My goodness, it's good to know, isn't it? You can expect that with the trials, you can expect God to be with you in the trials. But also, here's another thing you can expect. You can expect God to fight for you in your trials. Maybe you didn't know this, but the Bible says the battle belongs not to you, not to me, not to the church. No. The battle belongs to the Lord. And that's why we pray. That's why we seek God. That's why we put on spiritual armor. That's why we declare the word of God. That's why I don't step up to the devil and say, devil, I'm coming at you in my own power. No. I say, I come to you in the name of Jesus, my King, my Lord, my Savior, the one who already whipped you at the cross, devil. And that's why the devil runs, is because if it was just me, he could defeat me. He's a more powerful being than I am in the spirit. But guess what? When it comes to God, God will whip him every time in the spirit. Hello? See, my little flesh isn't going to be able to fight a spiritual battle. That's why I fight with the weapons of our warfare that God gives us that are not carnal but mighty through God for the pulling down of strongholds. I think it's interesting to note that Hezekiah's name means God is my strength. He lived that, didn't he? Right here in this challenge, right here in the middle of this, he says, hey, don't be afraid of them. Listen, God's with us. God is my strength. His name declared it every time it was spoken. 2 Chronicles, now drop down to verse number 20. Verse number 20, it says, now because of this King Hezekiah and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, prayed and cried out to heaven. Look how they fought their battle. Listen, even though Hezekiah gathered the army, he gathered the people and set people over other people, he was ready to have a natural fight. And yet, what did him and Isaiah the prophet do? They prayed. They called on heaven. And they got in the face of God. See, too many times we're going around talking to our mama, talking to our daddy, talking to our cousin, talking to our coworker, talking to our girlfriend, talking to somebody who can't do anything for us but comfort us or gossip with us or tell us some bad advice. And yet God is the one who will hear your prayer. He'll hear your complaint. But guess what? God has the power to move and to act and to do what needs to be done. And we often skip the tremendous power of prayer. He cried out to heaven. Well, what happened? Look at verse 21. Then, everybody say then. After he prayed, then the Lord sent an angel who cut down every mighty man of valor, leader, and captain in the camp of the king of Assyria. So he returned. I love this word, shamefaced. That's not a word that we use enough in these days, is it? When the last time you heard of somebody was shamefaced? They should be shamefaced the way they're acting. Shamefaced to his own land. And when he'd gone to the temple of his God, some of his own offspring, his sons, struck him down with the sword there. Notice you never see Hezekiah and the army marching out. Did you see that? You never see them lift a sword. You never see them with a bow and arrow. You never see them even say anything to Sennacherib. Didn't need to. Didn't need to respond. They let God do the talking. And when God did the talking, he left shamefaced and ended up his demise. Why? Because you don't come against God and you don't come against God's people. Trials may come, but God is the one who fights the battle. Is anybody listening tonight? You can expect God to fight the battle. There was a great couple in our church. They served here for a number of years and since have moved on in their retirement to another state. And, you know, just wonderful people. And if they're watching tonight, you know who you are and you know that I love you dearly. And I'd love to have an email from you guys. I'll reach out and email you if I don't hear from you. But they're just great people. Their names are David and Diane. Some of you guys know them. They've been through our Bible college. They told us their testimony. And they had a lot of testimony. David overcame cancer twice. He had tithing testimonies that would blow your mind. But the way he came to the Lord was unique. You see, Diane and David, they weren't always safe. They weren't always living the life for Jesus. They weren't always these great volunteers in church. They were living out there in the world. In fact, David had an alcohol problem. Diane didn't like that. Well, through a process of time, Diane got saved, came to the Lord, gave her heart and life to Jesus, and just went all in. and started coming here to the Rock Church, World Outreach Center. And so she would invite David, come to church with me. He said, no, I don't do that. I don't like that church. You go ahead. And he'd stay home and drink. Well, after a while of this going to church thing, she kept inviting him and inviting him and inviting him. And the Lord spoke to her. He said, I got this. So she trusted God. God had it. So she stopped inviting him. She'd just get ready for church. All right, bye, bye. Little did she know, when she left, he had a thought. I wonder what kind of church she's going to. So he did what every good man would do. He stalked us online. Got on our website. Found out that we had a live stream. Well, I wonder what the church service is like. I wonder what Diane's experiencing there. So he's listening to praise and worship. Listening to the message. Huh, pretty good. So Diane came home. He didn't tell her nothing about it. How was church? That was good. Great. Next day, she goes to church. All right, bye. Logs into the Rock. He's watching. For months, she goes to church. He logs in online, has church. They don't say nothing about it to each other. She has no idea. One day, the message finally drops in his heart. The lights turn on for David. He believes what's being said. And he says, I want to give God all my heart. I want to give God all my life. He prays with us online. Get saved. He's born again. Oh, my goodness. Next Sunday rolls around. Diane's getting ready for church. David gets on his coat, his pants, his shoes, and he comes walking out. And she's like, what are you doing? Where are you going? He goes to church. She says, you're going to church? Why are you going to church? He said, because I got saved. She says, you did? When did you get saved? He said, watching online. You were watching online? Yeah, for months I've been watching online. Months? We could have been going to church together this whole time. Well, let's go now. You see, she didn't have to fight the battle. She didn't have to browbeat him with the Bible. She didn't have to keep telling him over and over again. She didn't have to coerce him or talk. All she had to do was pray to the Lord for her husband's salvation, believe God, and the battle was the Lord's. Maybe, just maybe, when you're looking at your situation, maybe that boss doesn't need a knuckle sandwich, even though you'd like to serve one up to him. Maybe he needs your prayers. Maybe he needs your love. Maybe your relative that you aren't speaking to, maybe they don't need that browbeating. Maybe they need your prayers and your love. Maybe that neighbor that's just bugging you, man, maybe they don't need another tract or another thing. They might just need a gentle invitation and the loving assistance that you can provide as a godly neighbor who prays for them. See, you don't realize when you put things in the Lord's hands, how mighty he is in battle. He's mighty to save. One more time, give the Lord a praise tonight. It's just good to praise the Lord. Here's the last thing that we can expect with our trials, is that we can expect God to guide us through trials. And this is really an important one, because sometimes we don't know what to do in the midst of our trials. Here's Hezekiah praying, right? Calling out to God. And the battle belonged to the Lord. But I want to just take a look at 2 Chronicles chapter 32, this time verse number 22. 2 Chronicles 32 and verse number 22. Very interesting verse, how it wraps up this whole story with the battle that took place that the Lord just won on their behalf. Verse 22 says, thus the Lord saved Hezekiah. Remember, the title of this message is Saved and what? Guided. You're saved and you're going to go through trials. And so God wants to guide you through those trials and show you how to handle it. So you don't have to freak out and say, has God forsaken me? What's wrong with me? Have I sinned? You don't have to do none of that. You can just press into God's presence. Find out what it is that the Lord has for you. Look at what it says. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all others. And look at this. And guided them on every side. Guided them on every side. Now, some of your translations might say something different. They might say that God gave them peace on every side, or maybe God gave them gifts on every side. In fact, if you read down the next verse, you'll find that many gifts came into Hezekiah. Even though he was already prosperous, as the Bible had said in the previous chapter, he became more prosperous. It's an amazing thought, isn't it? That after he went through a trial, he was guided, he had peace, and he prospered. I wonder if we have the wrong idea about what God is doing in the trials that he allows to come into our life. Notice I didn't say he authored those trials. Because sometimes you go, oh God, he's teaching me a lesson by putting cancer on me. God did not put cancer on you. I'll tell you that right now. God is not the author of sickness. He's not the author of chaos. He's not the author of confusion. Well, I can see why this is happening in my marriage because God is doing it. No. It might just be that you need to treat your wife better. Might just be that you need to serve your husband as the church serves Christ and is subject and submits to Christ. And all things. See, there might be some natural practical things that you need to learn. And God may be allowing those things to come into your life so that on the other side, you can be guided, you can be prosperous, and you can have the peace of God in those areas of your life. And see, we got to remember that the Holy Spirit is called our guide. Is that right? See, this is not just for fun stuff. This is not just for understanding the Bible. Oh, God guided me through the scriptures. It was so cool. He's the teacher. Yes. That's good. And that's good to have a guide to go through the Bible. Or, you know, man, I was witnessing. Holy Spirit was just speaking through me. He's my guide. Yeah. Awesome. Wonderful. What about when you don't know which way's up? What about when the proverbial stuff hits the proverbial fan? What about those times? Oh, bless the Lord. No, that's not what you're saying. But he's still your guide. He's still saying, come on, I got you. Come on, take another step. Hey, we're going to make it through this, right? Some of you guys, you go to the gym and you had a trainer. What do? They guided you on how to lift. They guided you on how to handle the pain. They guided you on how to handle the pressure. They guided you on how to eat, how to suffer through starvation. Hello, right? They told you don't lift like that. You're going to hurt yourself. All sorts of things that they guide you through. How about a crisis counselor? What do? They guide you through, hey, you're going to go through a bunch of emotions right now. It's going to start with, you know, just not knowing what's happening. You're going to be, kind of disenfranchised, almost like punch drunk. You're not really going to know what to do. And then you're going to come to and you're going to have anger. And then after the anger subsides, there will be some sadness that you're going to encounter. And after the sadness, you're going to feel exhausted and tired. And finally, you'll have some clarity after all that to be able to make a real plan. So don't make any plans until you hit that clarity. See, what are they doing? They're guiding you through the process of emotions that you're about ready to hit in that crisis so that you can make it through and make wise decisions. See, the Holy Spirit is your counselor. He's your comforter. He's your guide. He wants to lead you through the trials that you go through. You know, our family, we love when we get time to just get away and take some time together. And we took the kids one year up to Kings Canyon. Right there in the Sequoias, King Canyon, all that kind of stuff right next to each other. And we had a great time. And in both places, they have a big cave system. So we went to Crystal Cave in the Sequoias. Beautiful. It was wonderful. It was huge. It was awesome. But then we did this one in Kings Canyon, and it was very memorable. And I remember asking the family at the end of the trip, because oftentimes at the end of the trip, I'm like, hey, what was your favorite day? What was your favorite thing that we did? And it's just a way to kind of talk and kind of recap what happened and, you know, see if there's something that we could do in the future, what was fun and that sort of thing. Just kind of fun to do. So I was, what was your favorite out of the two caves we went to? Which one was your favorite? Everybody said the one in Kings Canyon. I said, why was that? Because it was smaller. And it wasn't as extensive as the Crystal Cave, but it was just a more fun experience for everybody. Well, here's the reason why. It's because at Crystal Cave, there was like, you know, one of the people in the uniforms, and they were very, you know, serious, and they took us into this massive cave. They turned out all the lights, and then they just read a poem. And it was kind of weird, and I didn't really know what they were talking about. And the kids, definitely, they were, you know, smaller at that time. They definitely didn't like that, you know. Lights out and nothing like that and a poem, and I don't even know what they're saying. And so, yeah, it was cool, and they had some neat stuff in there. But then when we went to the one in Kings Canyon, there was a family that owned it. And the family led us through it. And the family told us, hey, we're about ready to turn out the lights. Everybody grab a hold of something, all right? We just want to see how pitch dark it is. Okay, here we go. One, 2, 3, everybody scream, ah! And then they're like, not so scary, huh? Put your hand, wave your hand in front of your face. You can't even see it, can you? And then they flipped the lights back on. They showed us all this stuff, stalactites and stalagmites and cave bacon. How many know everything's better with bacon? even caves, right? And so they showed us the cave bacon, all that good stuff. And they had this whole system, and they were writing on the walls from the 1800s and different stuff. And they told us on our way out, they said, hey, you can either go out the way that you came in, and that's okay. Or there's an adventure way to go. And we were like, what? Adventure way? I want the adventure way. They're like, we knew you did. And so here's what you're going to do. You're going to go down this path. You're going to walk through. Now, they said, here's the deal. There's some tight places, okay? As you go through, just realize, suck it in, okay? Because there's going to be some tight places. You'll make it through. I promise. I've made it through. You can do it, all right? Also, there's going to be some water at your feet. Might be a little slippery in some areas. Just hold on to the walls. It's okay. You can touch stuff. And as you go, there's going to be some rocks and some sharp things. Just be careful, okay? And you'll get out on the other side, and we'll see you out there. We're like, yeah, adventure way. Here we come. We went through. Sure enough, tight spots. All right, kids, isn't this fun? No, yes, okay, we're going to make it. We go through. All of a sudden, there's water at our feet. Oh, my gosh, wow, water. Hey, watch out, kids. There's a sharp rock right there. I got it, Dad, right? We made it out. Kids had a blast. Why? Because we had a guide. Why? Because they shared with us some things that we needed to look for in advance. Think about this. They prepared us for dark and slippery situations and every tight squeeze. Some of you guys are in a tight squeeze. Some of you guys might be in dark times. Some of you guys might have slippery situations, but I'm here to tell you, this is not the end. This is not devastation. You're just on the adventure path right now. And the Holy Spirit has got you. And he's saying, come on, you can do this. Come on, family. We can make it through this. Let's go. We've got this. You're going to make it out. I'll see you on the other side. And by the way, I'm right here with you, fighting your battles. And guess what? If you encounter anything on the way, I'll guide you through that too. 1 Peter chapter number 5 in the New Testament. Turn there with me towards the end of your Bible. You'll find 1 Peter. Peter talks a lot about trials, talks a lot about sufferings, talks a lot about the things that we go through. He even talks about the stuff we go through because we're stupid. Did you know that? Bible talk, he says, listen, if you're going through it because you did something wrong, hey, take it. You deserve it. You earned it, right? But he says you're going to go through a lot of stuff that you don't deserve. A lot of stuff, trials are going to pop up in your life. And then he gives us encouragement right at the end of 1 Peter chapter number 5. Take a look at verse number 10. It says, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. Doesn't that sound beautiful so far? This verse just sounds so eloquent and so wonderful. And then he ruins it with this next statement. After you have suffered a while. Notice you're saved, but you're also guided. You're saved and God loves you and you're going to heaven and everything's all right, but trials are going to come into your life after you have suffered a while. Doesn't that give you hope though? Think about it, because if he said after, that means I'm going to make it. That means God's got this. That means there's an end. There will come a day. There will come a moment that I say, whew, I'm through. I made it out of the cave. After you have suffered a while, what's he going to do? Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. God has an expected, intended end. He's going to give you peace on all sides. He's going to prosper you and bless you, and he will guide you in every way of your life. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Let's just take a moment in the presence of God. And I saw a lot of hands go up for some of you guys that said this week, this year, this month, maybe even today, that you were going through a trial. Would you just take a moment and just seek the Lord in the midst of this trial? As you're taking some time in the presence of God, if you need to go and find your faith buddy, remember Hezekiah had Isaiah. Maybe you need a faith buddy, someone to just pray with you and agree with you. It's okay. Grab a hold of somebody. Say, hey, pray with me, brother. Pray with me, sister. I need your faith right now. If you don't know a soul in this church, but you need someone to be a faith friend, would you just raise a hand? Maybe you don't know anybody, but you're saying, I need someone to pray with me. I want to make sure. I want to make sure that you get prayer. You're not alone. You got a church family that's here to help you. I'm looking around. I'm not seeing any hands. Hopefully I'm not missing you. I just want to make sure. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just a reminder for those of you that are here, if you ever need someone to pray with you right after church, we always have our prayer teams at the altars that would love to join their faith and be like Isaiah with Hezekiah. Pray with you and call out to God on your behalf. Believe God to move in your life. Maybe in this time of seeking God, God dropped a scripture or a plan or a statement or something in your heart. Just make sure to write it down. Maybe you even got a vision. You might say, Pastor, I've never had a vision, but I did get a picture in my mind of something. Yeah, God's given you a vision. It's that simple. It might just be something that in your imagination popped up, a picture. Make sure to write it down. You don't want to forget what God is showing you or what God is speaking to you in this moment. Father, I thank you, Lord, that even though trials are going to show up, God, that we can rejoice in our trials. Because we know you're producing something in us. That godly character, that faith. Lord, that you're with us in the midst of it. You've never left us, never forsaken us. God, you're fighting our battles, and you're guiding us through. I thank you, God, that there isn't an end. And even if it's not here on the earth, God, that there's coming a day where we'll be with you face to face. You'll wipe every tear from our eyes, and thus we'll be with you forever. We love you, God, and we look forward to that day. But until then, God, we're here fighting the good fight of faith, running our course, and seeking you. We love you, God. It's in Jesus' name. We're all in agreement. We say amen, amen, amen. Give the Lord one more great big shout if you got something from the Lord tonight. I'd be remiss if I just concluded and I let you go tonight and you died and didn't make it to heaven. I don't want that for you. You don't want that for you. More than both of us, God doesn't want that for you. That's why he sent Jesus, beaten, bloody, and hung on a cross. It was that if you died, you didn't have to die and go to hell. But that you could be saved from hell. See, sometimes people say, oh, you're saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Hell is a place that no one wants to go. No one should go. Because you don't have to go. Jesus paid the price for our sin on the cross. And now he offers salvation to all who will believe on him. Now, sometimes people say, well, I believe. Isn't that enough? I believe. I acknowledge it to be true. I got scriptures memorized, Old New Testament. And while that's good, it's not enough just to simply mentally acknowledge it. See, sometimes people think that if they just know who God is, know a scripture, that's it. They get to go to heaven. But the problem is there's something deeper in our lives that God had to deal with than just our brains, just our mental acknowledgement. Sometimes people say, well, I believed it enough that, you know, my family was a Christian family. We were raised in a Christian home. My parents took me to church growing up. In fact, I'm in church in front of you right now. I got involved in my last church. I helped out, sang in the choir, carried the pastor's Bible. Even got a membership card to that church and taught in the Bible classes. While those are all great things, did you know that none of them will get into heaven? Church attendance doesn't get you into heaven. Church involvement doesn't get you into heaven. Being in the right family or the right nation won't get you into heaven. None of that. But pastor, I've been a good person. I know God wants us to be good. Yeah, he does want us to be good. But not according to what man says. Not according to what you say or I say or the people think. See, our definition of goodness is one thing, but God's definition of good is a different thing. And Jesus said this. He said, there's none good but God. What does that show us? That shows us you can't be good enough to earn your way into heaven. Romans tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No matter how good you are, you can't be good enough to earn your spot in heaven. Sometimes people say, well, pastor, Jesus went to the cross and died for our sins. Doesn't that mean that everybody gets to go to heaven? No, because the Bible is very clear that many people will go to hell. In fact, the Bible, if you read it the way I read it, it says, wide is the path that leads to destruction, and many people are on it. But narrow is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it. That makes me think that probably there's going to be more people that don't make it than that do. And I want to make sure that you make it. I want to shine some light on the path for you, because not all roads lead to heaven. There's only one way to heaven, and that's God's way. Jesus said it in John, the 3rd chapter. He said, you must be born again. What does that mean? Being born again, is it that goofy, weirdo stuff you've seen in Hollywood movies, television, books, and blogs on the internet? No, it's not. Being born again from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible has always meant the same thing. It means that you have surrendered all of your heart and all of your life for all your days. See, sometimes people hear that surrender and they say, oh, I prayed that prayer. Listen, it's not just a prayer. It's not just a one-time thing. You throw up a prayer and then you live like the devil the rest of your life. God's no fool. He listens to the words of your mouth, then he watches your life to see if it follows. And Jesus said, he who endures to the end will be saved. So you got to surrender all of your heart and all of your life for all of your days. It means that you're committed to following. Even if you mess up, you get up, you dust off, you repent, you turn from your way, and you keep following God's way. You're committed. It's a lifelong commitment to Jesus. All of your heart and all of your life for all of your days. In a moment, I'm going to give you the opportunity to surrender, to commit your life to Jesus, to say, I want to be born again, head for heaven and deny hell. Here's what it's going to look like. I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. When I say three, I'm going to pop my hand on this microphone. Bang, just like that. When you hear that pop of my hand on this microphone, that's your cue to just simply raise your hand. What you're doing in raising your hand is you're saying, I want to give God all my heart. I want to give God all my life. I want to be born again and head for heaven and deny hell. I'll see your hand go up. I'll count it. You put it right back down. Say, wait, whoa, 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 time out. If I raise my hand, I'll be embarrassed. Yeah, you might be, possibly. But even if you're embarrassed, it's better than end up in hell forever. Listen, no one would make that trade. A moment of possible embarrassment for an eternity away from God, come on. And yet the devil thinks you're a fool. He's trying to talk you out of this right now. Tell that devil to shut up and go to hell. And you're not cussing. Hell is a place, and that's where the devil belongs, all right? You don't belong there. The devil does. It was made for the devil. It was never made for you. So tell that devil, I'm not going with you. And get ready to get your hand up. You say, well, why do I got to get my hand up? Because Jesus said, if you confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father in heaven. But if you deny me, he says, I will deny you. So tonight, it's your call. Tonight, it's your choice. Don't say, oh, pastor, I got more time. I'll make this decision later, or I'll make it on my deathbed. Listen, you're not guaranteed tomorrow. We're all one accident, one incident, one virus, one bomb, one breath away from eternity. Don't say, well, you know, pastor, I'll clean up my act and then I'll come to God. No, you come to God, he'll clean you up from the inside out. Who should raise your hand? If you've been running from God instead of to God, I'm speaking to you. Who should raise your hand if you're not sure? Tonight, make sure. Who should raise your hand if you've never done this before? Could have been in church all your life or never been in church at all in your life. And tonight, it's your night of salvation. Or finally, who should raise your hand? Maybe you're backslidden. Maybe you're lukewarm in this place and you know what those things are. Jesus was clear in the book of Revelation when he said, when I come, I want to find you hot or cold, because if I find you lukewarm, I'll vomit you from my mouth. Maybe tonight you need to rededicate yourself to the Lord. And tonight you can do that in the same time, in the same moment. I'm going to count to three. Pop my hand on this microphone. If you're here live or even online, get ready to get your hands up. You know you need to do this. This is your time. This is your moment of salvation. Here we go. One, two, three. Let me see your hands. Just raise them up high right now. Thank you. There's one. There's two. God bless you guys. Who else tonight? Two wise people. Come on, let's go for God tonight if that's you. Is there anybody else? Just want to give you another opportunity. If that's you, just raise up that hand real high. I didn't embarrass them, and I won't embarrass you. It's going to give you another opportunity. If you're saying, I don't know if I'm really saved, or maybe I should. All right, I got you right there. Yeah, wonderful. Hey, good call. Got both hands raised. That's wonderful. Anybody else? About three or four wise people. Anybody else? Come on, let's go for God tonight. If your heart's beating out of your chest and you broke out in a sweat and wish I'd shut up, I think God's trying to get your attention right now. Is there anybody else? It's five wise people, four or five wise people. Anybody else? Come on, let's go for God. If that's you. Anyone else? Is that a hand in the family room? Give me a wave if it is. No? Okay. Just want to make sure. Anybody else? Last call. We're going to wrap this up. Maybe you said, if the pastor says it one more time, then I'll do it. All right, here you go. God's not your trick pony, but he loves you enough one more time to reach out to you. He loves you that much. Anybody else? I got you. Wonderful. Anyone else on this side? Point back here. I got them right there. All right. Wonderful. Well, let's give the Lord a hand. There's about five wise people, maybe more. Can we all stand together in the presence of the Lord? I'd like to pray with you right here at the altar. If you raise your hand, or you should raise your hand, it's not too late. Once you get a hold of your coat, purse, sweater, Bible, a friend, if you need a friend, once you get in the aisle and meet me up front right now. Church, if you're next to somebody, raise your hand. Say, come on, friend, I'll go with you. If you don't know the person next, you say, hey, do you need to go? I'll go with you. Come on and bring them right now. Come on down. Let's pray together right here at the altar. Come on down. Come on, they're coming. Let's give them a hand. Come on, you can come too. They're coming.
The precious light of Jesus Christ.
Come on, if you raise your hand, or you should have raised your hand, just get out of your seat, get in the aisle, and meet us up front right now. Come on down. They're still coming. Hallelujah. Come on, they're coming. Come on, you can come too. This is your time. This is your moment. Anybody else, if you need to come, just come. Well, hey, everybody. Thank God you guys have come. This is the best decision of your entire life right here, right now. Like I said, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer to invite Jesus into your heart. You're going to be born again. All right, and some more are coming. It's wonderful. All right, he's okay. He's my friend, all right? He's our friend, okay? So he's okay, all right? And thank you, Deborah. Thank you. Appreciate that. Hey, we're going to pray a simple prayer to invite Jesus in your heart and be born again, okay? As you pray this prayer, remember, we said you're committing to God all of your heart and you're committing to God all of your life. There's no commitment worth anything without consistency. I want to encourage you tomorrow when you wake up, even though you're going to look the same, smell the same, guess what? You're brand new on the inside. And it's another day to commit your life to the Lord and say, God, I'm following you. What does that look like? It means that you're going to pray. Just talk to God every day like I'm talking to you right now. You don't have to have the these and thous. Just give God an honest prayer. Just talk to him like I'm talking to you. Just, good morning, God. Thanks for today. Can you help me today, God? I've got questions. Can you answer them? And then listen for him. He'll talk to you. Read his Bible. Read the word, right? If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one. And you don't have to read the whole thing in a day. It's a pretty big book, isn't it? You could just read a little section, get a scripture that speaks to you, all right? And keep coming to church. In fact, this next year, if you commit, just to come in as much as you can. We got 8 services a week. So ladies, tomorrow morning, there's a women's Bible study for you if you can make it, 9:30 a.m., all right? Friday night, young adults, anybody ages 18 to 28-ish, all right? You can come on out, have a good time with some young people. They'd love to gather together with you. We got Saturday morning, Sunday night, and next Wednesday. Come as much as you can. As you do over this next year, I guarantee you, next year, May 6th, 2027, you'll look at your life and say, wow, look at the transformation God has made in my life. With those thoughts in mind, let's pray. Everybody's going to join in together with you, even online, if you're giving your heart to the Lord. Let's pray this prayer right now. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes, and say this out loud together in faith. Say, Father God, I come to you today in the name of Jesus. I give you all of my heart and all of my life for all of my days. Please come into my heart. Be my Lord and my Savior. Forgive me of my sin. I repent. I turn from it, and I turn to you. Cleanse me of my past, and give me a future with you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, and lead me for the rest of my days, because from now on, I am saved. I'm born again. I'm headed for heaven, denying hell. I'm a Christian. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hey, guys, welcome to the family. We're so excited for you. Now, listen, before you head off, real quick, when I got saved, I was 15 years old. And even though I was raised in church, I still needed some help. I needed a friend. This is my friend, Pastor Joel. He wants to give you some free stuff, free literature, find out what just happened, okay, and what to do next in your walk with God. Like I said, if you don't have a Bible, we'd love to give you one, okay? He'll take a couple minutes of your time, and then he'll let you go, okay? Your friends and family that came with you, they'll wait for you. And if your children in the children's church, they're safe until you get there, okay? If you just make a left turn for a couple minutes, follow Pastor Joel right this way. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. Well, hey, family, I would love to see you guys tomorrow afternoon at the National Day of Prayer, noon to 1 at City Hall in San Bernardino. We're going to pray down heaven on this city, on this region, on our nation, and all over the world. We're going to be believing God for great things as well. Like I mentioned, ladies, tomorrow morning, 9:30, Pastor Deborah has a message. I'll tell you, I read the notes, and I just got blessed. It was like Easter notes. I was like, woo, girl, she's going to preach. So get ready, ladies. Bring your own seatbelt, and you're going to have a great time. And then young adults Friday night, and then we're into the weekend to have a great time together. Remember, talking about the increase of God in your life when it comes to, we're going to start our work. And so we're going to be launching that this weekend. Going to be dynamic and alive. Love you guys so much. Can I bless you as you go? Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Father, these are your people, and they're called by your name. Lord, they're blessed in the city, blessed in the field, blessed coming and going. May everything they put their hands to, they prosper. And Lord, with a great big shout of faith about our area, we declare that the Inland Empire shall be saved.
If you gave your heart and life to Jesus today, congratulations, that is the best decision of your life. If you are unable to make it to our altar care room, we encourage you to scan the QR code and get our discipleship material for you. Also, The Rock Church is a busy place. We have so many events going on campus. We are a church on the move. If you want to keep up with all of the events going on, you can scan the QR code to keep up with our church calendar. Hey, it was a blessing being with you today. We pray a blessed rest of your week, and we can't wait to see you in church next time. Go tell somebody about Jesus.
Thank you for listening to The Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, we'd love to hear from you. You can follow us on social media or visit our website at rockchurch.com.